Gorgeous Entrepreneurs with Amanda Rui on Radio Gorgeous.
Amanda is also extraordinary because she has lots of fingers in different pies. She contributes to Psychology's magazine, Huffington Post, and you are a mentor for the Sherry Blair Foundation. Today, she's going to show us how we can use PR and make PR into our friends, but most importantly, she's going to give us tips on how to pitch to busy editors. Now, normally, she gives tips to PRs on how to pitch to journalists. So this is very useful because it's a bit like sleeping with the enemy, as it were. And she's going to show us how to reverse this so that we can pitch to editors. If any of you aren't interested, because I know we have a great mixture here, some journalists, some authors, some people who are just interested in writing. If any of you aren't interested in this, do listen in because it can all be woven into fact or fiction at some point in our lives. So each of you is to speak for about 20 minutes or so, maybe half an hour. It's all very fluid, as you know. And then we'll have questions for both at the end, I think. Meanwhile, touch of housekeeping. If anybody hasn't paid, please see Heather there, okay? Because, as you know, this is a non-profit-making organisation. Bev sends her love from France, by the way, so she wishes she could be here, but actually she's very happy in France. And if I sound slightly woozy, it's because I've just got off a plane after a 10-hour flight. So next month, we have our last meeting of the year, of the summer, as it were, and we are extremely lucky in that we have Harry Mount, editor of The Oldie, who's going to be becoming new editor of The Oldie, young blood at The Oldie. Very sadly, as I think many of you will know, Alexander Chancellor, the editor of The Oldie, recently passed away, and he actually came to speak at this group, that some of you might remember. Harry Mount is in his 40s?
47.
47, and started freelancing for The Oldie when he was 19. And so don't be put off by the title of The Oldie. We've been subscribing to it for about 5 years, and we just think it's absolutely brilliant. So do come along. The Oldie does accept commission. It does accept pitches from anyone, really, to be honest. If they're writing about a subject that they are keen on publishing, they're not easy to get into in any way. But the great thing about The Oldie is you don't have to have a track record in writing. What they're interested in is what you're writing about. So do come along and hear Harry. So we're going to start off with Amanda, who's going to do 5 steps on how to get over your fear of pitching to busy editors. And we're hoping that will include those who don't reply to your emails. Right, thank you
so
much.
Let's hope.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I hope you're going to be clapping at the end, because I am the enemy. I am a PR woman, and I know that journalists tend to dislike us. But what I do is I actually train entrepreneurs how to pitch to pitch to journalists, because it's very essential that to get some game-changing publicity can really, really change your career, and that is if you're running a business. My mum ran a business, a mail order company called Janet Coles Beads. Anybody heard of that? We were importing beads from all around the world, and one day she got her business into the Daily Mail. It was a very small tin pot company, and then she ended up getting to the Daily Mail. It transformed her business, and she got sack load after sack load of letter. In those days, it used to be letter, no emails, you know. And it literally transformed her business. She became a household name. So that's what I kind of try to teach entrepreneurs, why they should be pitching to journalists like you. Can I just see who is a journalist in the room? Okay, right. So hopefully I'm going to be speaking and giving you some good tips. Okay, so this is how to get over your fear of pitching. But does anybody else have to do any pitches? Just put your hands up just so I know whether you're pitching, yeah? This will apply because there are some tips here. So first of all, my first tip is all about switching on your mindset and your vision. So when you want to do a pitch, think about your working month. Have you got a vision board set out? So have you got a board which has got all the amazing publications that you'd love to write for? Do you have a vision board there? And also, a tip is, on that vision board, is to have how many articles you'd actually like to have published each month. And then also a tangible target of financial income that you'd like per month as well. So when you see that, and you come home to every day, or you sit at your home office desk, and it's on your wall, and it says, you know, I'd like to write for Psychologist and the Huffington Post and all sorts of other amazing magazines and publications. Then you say, I want to have, you know, 6 articles published, and that will transfer into X and Y income. You see that every day. It will haunt you, but it also will help you and inspire you to actually get on and do a bit more, you know, pitching. However, because I've got a very good friend who's a freelancer, and she says it's all about, you know, the self-belief, because you can actually lose confidence if you pitch quite a bit and you never get a commission. Has anybody ever had that, and you've pitched a really amazing story and it hasn't gone through? Has anybody had that? Yes, okay. So, and I know that as well, because I used to pitch my own business to the press and I got rebuffed, you know, many, many times. I got blacklisted, I'll tell you about that. So, you know, I've gone through the ringer, and I think all of you guys who are actually pitching, you will also go through the ringer. And do you find it quite, you know, depressing when you get a knock back and you think, oh my God, that story was so good? So it can really give you a massive knock to your self-belief. But what I think you should do is think about your big why. So when I was running my knitwear business, so I went from working for my mum's business, the mail order company. Then my husband is Peruvian, hence the exotic surname Ruiz. So I started importing knitwear from Peru. And I thought it was really beautiful, it was stylish, it was wonderful. And I used to call up the fashion journalists and say, hey, you know, it's the most amazing new brand. It's, you know, competing with Brora, it's alpaca knitwear, it's, you know, more luxurious, you know, all this business. I had a lovely fashion shoot. But I had a journalist who said, Amanda, that's just, you know, did you do the own styling? Did you not get a hair and makeup? Did you not do that? You know, all she did was rude about my, you know, the catalogue pictures which I'd sent through. I got really upset and I thought, oh God, this is awful. You know, because I know to get into the press is so essential. So what I did was I just like went upstairs. I work from home. Does everybody else work from home here? So it's quite isolating, isn't it? So you can't even talk to a friend and say, oh my God, you know, I've just been slagged off by a fashion journo. So I just went upstairs and did something very uncommon. I actually went and started folding the laundry. So try and think of an activity you can do if you have been rebuffed. Is it going to be walking around, you know, the park, stroking your dog? Think of activities you can do to kind of pep you up a bit. But it's all about, and I actually realise this as well, it's all about your big why. Why are you sending these articles to the busy editors? Is it because you need, is it because you just love writing? You're lucky enough, you don't need to earn any money. Is it because you need to pay for university fees for your children? Is it because you need to pay the rent? So what is it every single time that you get rejected? And you say, well, I don't care what you think about my my knitwear shoot or my, you know, my article. Somebody else is going to really like it. So when I come back from folding all those clothes upstairs, I took a big deep breath and I went, and I called up somebody else and she goes, Amanda, I love it, we're going to publish it in Women and Home or something like that. So I got, you know, so one person's horror might be somebody else's love and you might get published. So don't think the one thing which doesn't get published, you can't rinse and return, really, regurgitate, or repurpose, rather. So really, yes, if you have rejections, just keep on trucking. Now, tip number 2 is all about peeling the onion. So get to know your editors. And I know they're very, very, very busy people. It's like you journalists, are very, very, very busy to all of us entrepreneurs who are desperate to get that game-changing PR. But if you get to know those editors, slowly, slowly, you can become friends with them. So I met a freelance journalist who I got to know very slowly over Twitter. We've got a, you know, relationship going over Twitter. I don't know who tweets around here. And that's also how I got to know Josephine. We're now really, really good friends. And it's all thanks to kind of getting to know her on Twitter. And I got to know Helen Croydon, who's a freelance journalist. And I built up a relationship with her. We met up for coffee. So can you say to any of these busy editors, and I do know they're very busy and they probably don't have time to meet up for coffee, but if you've got something which is really interesting, really compelling, they may just say, do you know what, I've got 5 minutes for a quick coffee. If they can't do a physical coffee, how about a Skype coffee? Does everybody know what a Skype coffee is? Yes. So you can just say, hey, it's just 5 minutes. I'd love to speak with you. Because I always found, whenever doing my pitches, journalists, you will all say, Amanda, do not call me. Don't call. I teach my entrepreneur clients to actually make a phone call. Because when you've actually spoken to somebody, you're breaking the ice and they get to know you. And if you get over that 30-second hurdle, do you know Harriet Minter? She writes or wrote for The Guardian. She's now a freelancer. she said, Amanda, you've gone over my 30-second hurdle. And now I respect you because, you know, you managed to get beyond those 30 seconds of, oh, God, I'm on deadline, get away, please. So if you can get over your 30-second hurdle with your editor, then, you know, that's a good thing. And I do also say, try to nail it in 8. So that is, if you're going to speak to somebody, so I say, hello, my name's Amanda Ruiz. I train entrepreneurs how to secure press coverage. So that's 8 words. So have you got anything that you could say to these busy editors? I'm, you know, Jane Corey, and I've just written, you know, the most, you know, a thriller, a blood-curdling thriller about sisters who hated each other, you know, something like that. You just got to make, it's almost like your headlines when you're writing your headline subjects. So try and have something which is quite interesting and eye-catchy when you're speaking to those editors. And don't forget that these editors actually need you, okay? Because they need new stories all the time. It's just like the journalists who we're trying to pitch on the other side. You need us as well, okay? So that's why I think it's really important just to get over the fear and just start pitching, which I know you are doing already. But I've got a secret weapon, okay, in order to get to know somebody even better. So first of all, you need to do your stalking on Twitter and LinkedIn, see what they're doing. It's called secret stalking. You're not really stalking, but you're kind of seeing where they are. And if you want to pitch to somebody, like I wanted to do a pitch to Susie Greaves for the for Psychologist magazine, I was following her and following her, and then I suddenly saw her Twitter feed was going a bit quiet, and I was really ready to do my pitch. I thought, well, I'm not going to pitch her while she's on holiday, so make sure that they're kind of communicating to their friends and colleagues and everything on Twitter before you kind of go and do your email pitch or your phone call pitch. So there you go. My sneaky tool is this. It's called Crystal Nose. Has anybody heard of it? So it's crystal, like the crystal ball, and nose, like knowledge, okay? So crystalnose.com, and it's amazing. It really is amazing. So what happens is you have to download it and put the app into your computer, you know, and it does all sorts of whizzy things. But if you use LinkedIn, and I also think it does work with Facebook or Twitter as well, what Crystal Nose does is it actually analyzes your writing style. So it can kind of work out what kind of a person you are, what kind of a character you are. So I'm going to, has anybody ever pitched to Laurel Ives, who's the food editor at the Sunday Times? Writes for Dish. Anyway, so what happens is, she, this is the killer information it gives you. It gives you about 5 points. It says, Laurel prioritises achievement, pursues goals aggressively and methodically, and doesn't like it when someone makes a decision on her behalf. So keywords about Laurel, that she's assertive, she's competitive, she's strategic, self-reliant and challenging. And it gives you a quick tip on how to speak with her. Be direct, efficient and be firm in your opinions, okay? And I did it also with Harriet Minter because I was wanting to pitch to her and it gave some really succinct points. I'm going to do Susie Greaves. Has anybody ever pitched to Susie from Psychologies? Yeah. No? Mm-hmm. Yes? Somebody okay. She's so lovely. So it says here about Susie. Susie is direct, task-focused, fast-paced, appreciates independence from structure. So she's competitive, strategic, self-reliant, challenging, and ambitious. Be efficient and be methodical. So it's just really, when you're going to be speaking to these people, and if it says they're, you know, they are charming, you need to kind of turn on the charm. So, oh, there's somebody here called Josephine Pembroke I've managed to research. So no. It says, Josephine, listen, is a very quick learner with strong analytical, creative, and social skills, but may seem 2 steps ahead in some conversations.
Oh.
Okay, and then it says, she's influential, she's persuasive, visionary, charming, and charismatic, which I would agree that is the case. So when you speak to Josephine, if you want to pitch to her, you need to project confidence and boldness. But does that sound true?
I'm amazed that this exists.
Yeah, I promise you. I could go on and on. I've got some more. Anybody ever pitched to Abigail Radnor, who is the features editor for The Guardian? Well, anyway, it just says you need to project confidence and boldness. So basically, when you're pitching to these people, whatever it says, how, you know, what they like, be friendly but drive towards results. Matthew Jenkin from The Guardian, be casual and talk about what's new and exciting, okay? Mm-hmm. So it gives you some really amazing tips, and I tell you, that's great. And the great thing is it's free, this app or whatever it's called, this software. You can actually upgrade. I don't know how much it costs to upgrade, and then it literally tells you how to write the email. It literally does. It says which words you should use. So that's my second tip. Number 3 is planning the pitch. So I don't know whether you guys have got this. Have you got an accountability partner? So if you have been pitching and it's quite lonely and it's like, oh my God, yet another rejection this week. I can't stand the month of May. It's looking so quiet. Why not get yourself an accountability partner? And that means somebody who's a fellow journalist. It doesn't have to be a journalist, it can be an entrepreneur, but somebody who works from home, who's an artist, for example. Lady over there. So anybody who has to do things during the course of the month. So what I suggest you do with your accountability partner is this. You have a 20-minute Skype call at the beginning of each week, and you literally speak for 10 minutes each. So I'll speak to Josephine. Josephine, I really want to pitch to NatWest Bank this week, because I know they'd really be great, you know, would be great partners, da da da. And then you say, Amanda, so what are you going to do to that? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to the head of enterprise, I'm going to do this action. That's NatWest. I'd also love to get into bed with X magazine. So you'll say, okay, Amanda, so I know the editor, you know, let's say the oldie. Or you'd say, Amanda, well, you know, what are your actions? And I'll say, you know, and then I confirm what my actions are going to be. And then you'll tell me who you'd like to pitch to that week. And then at the end, we both have to send each other our 3 points or our 5 pitching points for that week. And then on Friday, we do a summary. We do a kick-ass accountability roundup. So it's, let's say, 2 p.m. on Friday. So Josephine will have it on our calendar every single Friday before we pick up the kids. You know, just a quick 20-minute Skype call, or even a 5-minute Skype call. We can celebrate our wins, we can lament on all our failures, and we can just keep each other going for the rest of the month. How does that sound?
Really?
Anybody want to get one? Accountability partner? You've got one?
Yeah.
Oh! Great. I knew I'd be teaching Grandma how to suck eggs. Yeah. So, I'm sure you all know how to do this. You all know to get to know the publication that you want to write for. Do you know that? You open it up, you read it inside out, you know, yep, that's a tip which you all know. Do you have a pitching planner? So a pitching planner is let's say it's an Excel spreadsheet. It sounds like it's very bureaucratic, loads and loads more paperwork, but actually it's quite handy, and this is how I got blacklisted. I didn't have a pitching planner. So I was running my business, and I was desperate to get into the press, and I actually succeeded in getting, you know, Woman and Home and Vogue and Tatler and all these amazing publications. But there was one publication, I can't remember what it is now, and I was desperate to get into it, and I kept on calling the same woman. I literally did. So I called her in the morning, and it was in those days when you get a magazine, and you just see, you know, at the front of the magazine or whatever, what's that called? That
Flagmaster.
Is it Flagmaster? But it's got all the contact details, the telephone numbers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd scrabble it, you know, scratch through, and I'd say, oh, I'd call Susie and this, that, and the other. And it really wasn't an efficient way of working. So then I called this one woman. She goes, Amanda, I'm up a ladder. I'm just doing a photo shoot. Never call me again.
Oh.
So that's how to get blacklisted. So I really suggest you all have a pitching planner. So it can be an Excel spreadsheet. It could just be a Word document. It can even be a whiteboard at home. It doesn't need to be very, you know, sexy. Have it on it, the name that your person you're pitching to, so the name, the email, the telephone number, the publication, your pitch idea or your angle, and then his or her comment or action, never call again, or we're not covering that at the moment, speak to me, give me a call in May, you know, now we're in July, yeah, give me a call in July. So, and also your accountability partner will really love this planner. So anybody doing a planner?
Yeah.
Mas o menos, more or less, yeah, yeah. So that's great. Yeah. Okay, my tip number 4 is all about your profile. How up to date is your profile? So first of all, look at your email signature. Does your email signature just say Amanda Ruiz? Or does it say Amanda Ruiz telephone number? Does it say your website? Does it say your Twitter, your LinkedIn, your Instagram, and all those things? Has it got a picture of you? You can design these. And there's a website called Canva, and it's very simple to do these banners. So that's what I suggest you do. And also, because most journalists, I don't know, or do you all have a speciality that you write? You know, your health and fitness, or are you very general? Anyway, let's just say you all have a speciality. So put at the bottom, you know, put in your email signature, specialist in health and fitness, or women's health, or whatever. So everybody knows, even if you're writing to the bank, you know, everybody knows what you do, and they can share it, because you don't know, that bank manager might know somebody who's an editor. Just, you know, because you're just missing out on opportunities. Another thing is, you know, if you all have websites, do a quick website audit. Is it up to date? Do you have clear contact details on every single page? Because journalists, when they're talking to us entrepreneurs, they say, it's really annoying because I want to get in touch with that woman who runs the knitwear. I can't see where her contact telephone number is, so I'm just going to call Brora instead because her number is right there. So make sure your contact details are really evident. And then also, on your website, do you have all your latest articles that you've had published? Are they also live on your website? So just make sure you just keep up to date. Because you know, it's really embarrassing if you see something like 2006. Well, it doesn't like she's very up to date these days. And then also share your posts, I'm sure you all do, on LinkedIn, Twitter, and all the other social media places you go to. And also, have you set up Google Alerts? So if you do have a speciality, let's call it women's health, just make sure that the Google Alerts come. Because imagine if you're pitching to a publication and they've literally just run that story. So just make sure that you're up to date with what is going on. Now, finally, my last tip is the pitch itself. So, you know, I've just mentioned, do you call or do you email? Does anybody ever call an editor's? No. Yes, one person. Good. Okay. So can I just ask you why you don't call? But you're a journalist, so don't you have to call us entrepreneurs or, you know, people? Or is it all via email?
I always think people prefer to receive an email than a phone call. I don't know why I've got that assumption, because they're busy. I think an email can be something that can be looked at later.
Yeah.
Whereas a phone call, they have to drop whatever they're doing. I don't know.
Okay, so my tip is to be out there and do it. And get over that fear. So my nickname or my moniker is the ultimate door opener. And that is because I've had to literally gulp and go, oh my God, I'm having to call this really important person. It's really scary. Just do it. And all you can get is a rebuff. Sorry, I'm too busy. Send me an email. Or they might go, oh my God, Janie, it's so lovely, you know, that you've called me. I've seen your articles. You know, and there might be a little connection. So, and also don't forget your crystal nose. I really think, you know, we are in the era of text messages, of email. I do still think to make a great connection is literally to verbalise, you know, to use our tongues and our heads, and then do the email afterwards. So and they go, oh, I'm too busy, can you send me an email? Yes, I've just got it ready to send off. That's what I would do. Because then you can establish relationships and friendships with people, and then you go, oh, by the way, I know you're a bit busy, but, you know, whatever. But actually, I forgot to tell you one thing in your peeling the onion. You know the really important editor that you really like to get to know and get to meet? Maybe they're going to be talking at some industry event. So that's how I've managed to get to know people as well and become friends with these people. So I go to the event, I sit at the front, you know, here, be a nodding dog at the talk, and then I go and speak to them afterwards. And then, this is my killer tip, I do in my subject box, I go asterisk, you know, three asterisks, just spoken with you, asterisk. That's what I do if I'd make a phone call. Or if I've met them at an event, I go three asterisks, met you at Sunday Times launch, something like that, okay? And it's those asterisks who are quite, you know, eye-catching. It's like, oh, well, who's this woman who's just emailing me? Mm-hmm. So that's another killer tip. So, okay, when you are doing your pitch, I would recommend calling, but you're going to all come back to me and say, Amanda, it was so embarrassing. My accountability partner has told me never to call again, but just have a quick try. And when I'm teaching my entrepreneurs, I always say to try, you know, how do you call it? The people who are kind of like not the mega head. Try the work experience person first. You know, to kind of get your pitch and your story right, just to practice a bit. And then a way that emails are going to get opened and not just rejected is by having a very strong and powerful headline, which I know you all know. But one which I did for a client who was launching an African range of condiments. She was very beautiful, you know, like the spicy sauces, you know, for Nando's. She was competing there. Beautiful stuff from the Congo. And she had a photo shoot and she was stunning. So I came up with this headline and discussed it with her. I said, you know, what do you think? So it's Move Over Levi Roots, Young Female Entrepreneur Has the Secret Sauce. And that email got so many people calling up and requesting samples and BBC, Good Food and Waitrose magazine. It was great. So try to have a compelling headline. And also, if you're reacting to something in the press which is relevant to your industry, this is a tip, you just literally put in those square brackets, I don't know what those are called, not parentheses, anyway, just put reactive, or, you know, just something. So if it's like today's story and it's all about mental health, it's probably too long to put Mental Health Week, something like that. But just try and say whether it's reactive or not, or another way which you pitch. And then, you know, as these editors are extremely busy, three short bullet points about what your story is about, and then a short paragraph saying what your idea is, because I presume you don't want to be writing the whole story You just want to get a yes or a no, whether it's interesting for them to listen. So that is it, everybody. And I have an invitation to you. I have a Facebook group, and it is ramful. I've got about 583 entrepreneurs. And they're all really interesting business women. And you never know, if you come into that Facebook group and you introduce yourselves and say that you're just, because for me and a lot of my fellow entrepreneurs, you lot are gold dust. So if you come in there and go, hey, I'm an, you know, you can just write it, then you don't need to speak and, you know, talk. Just say, I'm a freelancer and I write about X and Y story. And I bet you there'll be somebody there who might give you a great story, because there's so many people who've got masses of backstories. So that's that. And I can give you a business card and we can get in touch afterwards. And also, I do pitch clinics, okay? So I have my entrepreneurs who then pitch to journalists. You know, it's an hour of pitch clinic. So if you'd like to be a pitchy, or, you know, you can be the expert journalist and have my entrepreneurs going, hello, I'd really love to get into this magazine. This is my story, this, that, and the other. And you say, well, I don't think that magazine is the right place for you. Why have you thought of, you know, trying the radio or something like that? So I do pitch clinics. So all I can say to you is thank you so much. I hope you got some tips.
That was amazing. Wow. That was fantastic. I know we're going to have lots of questions afterwards. Mm-hmm. And everyone's scribbling away.
Gorgeous Entrepreneurs with Amanda Ruiz on Radio Gorgeous. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2017. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.
Try, just a little bit harder, so I can love, love, love him more. I tell myself, oh, I'm gonna try, just a little bit harder, so I won't lose, lose, lose him more to nobody.
I can only tell you that the fastest iron in town is yours with Easy On Speed Starch.